Welcome to the Human Kindness at Work podcast, where you'll hear inspiring stories of people just like you making a difference in their corner of the world. You'll hear how human kindness is at work and how you can be a part of it. I'm Jennifer Clark. Ready to be inspired? Here we go. Have you experienced someone's generosity in a small way that made a big impact on the trajectory of your life? On this episode of the Human Kindness at Work podcast, my guest is very special to my own story. You'll hear about a teacher who gave me a chance and ultimately gave me skills that shaped what I do today. Carla Gettle is a professional singer and vocal instructor in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. She has a long history of performing with symphonies around the Midwest, and her solo recitals have taken her across the United States. Carla has toured extensively for the Iowa Arts Council, performing and teaching in over 65 Iowa communities. In addition to a robust performance career, Carla has a private voice studio. Her students have been consistent winners in competitions at the state, regional, and national levels, and are performing on Broadway and in opera all over the world, as well as teaching from the elementary to the university and graduate levels. Carla is nothing short of magical, and I know you'll hear some of that today. Welcome to the podcast, Carla Gettle.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. It's a delight to reconnect with you.
I am so glad to have this opportunity, Carla. While you have a beautiful performance career that we could talk about, I want to focus on your role as a private voice instructor. That's how I know you. You were my vocal teacher for the last 2 years of high school. And I was thinking about you the other day before I asked you to be a part of the podcast. I was singing O Mio Bambino Caro, which was one of the pieces that you assigned for my senior year of high school, the competitions that I was going to be involved in. And it actually was the song that got me a lot of scholarships, so thank you for that. But I was singing this song the other day. You came to mind, and I just felt this really deep gratitude for the role you had in my vocal development. Your studio was magical. And I know that I told you that, you know, 20 some years ago, but there was something so unique about being in your presence that changed the way I was able to perform. Suddenly, the notes that I couldn't sing at home just fell out of my mouth so easily. Have you ever had students describe your studio as magical? Have you had students experience this? What do you think the magic is?
I have, and I think it's so interesting. It's a wonderful question because I can't even count how many people, and they use that word. And I use it now because I teach formulas. If you do this with your breath, if you open your mouth in this certain way, and then I have symbols that I'm sure you recall, how expanding the tone.
Oh, and, yeah.
So I just believe teaching young singers to sing with very definitive concepts of breath control and space and dimension and balance, and then adding the whole core of it being invested in the story, the emotion of the piece. It's a formula that I teach, and it takes a while to stack those techniques. So at first, you begin to find it in the studio. And then gradually, you learn to find it at home. And then you get enough confidence that if I do this and this, it will work. And that makes you a confident, successful performer. It's ironic that I ended up teaching. My degree is in performance. Hmm. I never intended to teach. And I feel like I was tricked into it, honestly, because it was 1989. And I got a call from the director at Washington High School. He said, I have 4 outstanding young sopranos, and I can't find a teacher for them. And I said, well, unfortunately, I'm busy performing and I don't teach. He said, would you just come here on a Saturday and just listen to them? And I was just aghast. These were pre-professional sounding voices. And I said, well, they have to have a teacher. And he said, Exactly.
That's why I'm asking you.
So I started with those four, and then I found that connection meant everything to me, and I felt like it was my destiny, and truly probably my legacy.
Hmm. Carla, you gave me a very small act of human kindness when I was a junior in high school, but it made a really huge impact on my life. You took, I think I remember, about a dozen students that year, and they were from all around Eastern Iowa. I was lucky enough to make the cut, but my parents couldn't afford to pay for weekly private lessons with you, and you offered me a scholarship of sorts. Our agreement was that I would come and help with some housework to kind of pay for that difference. Do you remember that?
I don't. You know, when I auditioned, and it was overwhelming, at the time when you were a student in high school, I would have 60 people call me and want lessons. And I finally had to go to this audition process, which was agonizing. So difficult to say yes, no, maybe later. And I sent out letters, and I know I broke some hearts, and it broke mine to do that. But I was interested in finding people that had potential, but also intelligence and passion. And it didn't matter to me. I don't remember who had scholarships and who didn't. I just remember hearing you. Did you come to a class?
I did.
With a group, or did I? Yes. Because I just didn't have time to hear 60 individual singers.
Yeah.
And we did a three-day workshop when I could kind of get to know you a bit for an hour, 3 days in a row. And it didn't matter to me if you could pay the full amount. I never gave anyone free lessons. I tried it one time, and that person took advantage of that and didn't practice and didn't work. So I think there is an investment that's important.
I absolutely agree. I remember one of my little things to do to make up that difference was to come and wrap Christmas gifts with you. And Carla, that was probably the worst thing you could have asked me to do. To this day, I am a horrible gift wrapper. And I remember that you had set that up for me to stay after my lesson and help you wrap Christmas gifts. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, shoot, I'm so bad at this. But you and I
don't remember that at all.
You and I had the most wonderful conversations. You were so generous and kind. And you may have rewrapped everything. I don't know, but I won't blame you if you
never
did.
I just appreciated the help with two children and a busy singing and performing career and students. My life was very hectic at that time. I appreciated all the help I could get.
Well, I'm glad it was a win-win. You know, studying under you, having that opportunity, you giving me a chance, despite my parents' financial status, their ability to pay, you giving me a chance really did shape the trajectory of my life. I learned how to use my voice. And all of those things that you just described about the levels of teaching, I use all of that in voice acting every single day. And you,
I love that.
You talk about the confidence from your students in the studio. That is probably the biggest thing I walked away with from you, was that I could do this, that I not only had a gift, but I could use that gift with confidence and tell stories in meaningful ways and connect with all of those emotions. I literally use that every single day. I'm thinking of people listening to this. People listening to this thinking maybe they have the capacity to give in that way, to make it easier for someone else to thrive, to learn. You could have easily only taken on students that could pay full price because you were in such high demand. But what was that ultimate motivation for offering scholarships to students like me?
You know, you made me think about this because I haven't. And why did I do that? I think it comes from how I grew up, because I did not have a happy childhood. And I kind of kept, at the big part of my life was keeping it a secret. I was a very unhappy kid in middle school and high school because of my mother was an alcoholic, and I didn't want anyone to know that. And so I really connected easily when I could see someone in need. A young person that was anxious, depressed, anorexic, LGBTQ. And to me, it was the connection with those people as a person more than as a singer that motivated me. And I've always believed as a teacher that I need to get inside your life. I have other colleagues that just don't. They don't want to know about the breakups and problems and all that. I said, it's an integral part of who they are and how they express themselves as performers.
Yeah.
So I think that connection has kept me in touch with people all over the world now. A week ago today, I had my 75th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
And I heard from people, many people like you. I heard from an actor that I worked with on stage 40 years ago.
Wow.
But I heard from students over and over and over. And it brought me to tears, because I think it's my students know that I care about them as people.
Yeah.
Not just as an instrument.
Yeah. Or a way to earn money, right?
Oh, absolutely. I am, like I told you, I'm at a very wonderful place in my life right now, and a place of gratitude. And a lot of that comes from the memories of wonderful, wonderful people like you that I've connected with over the years.
What are you most grateful for right now in this season of life?
Health, and that's important at this age and stage. I've had my share of not great luck. I have had breast cancer. I was badly injured in a car accident. I think I've had 17 surgeries.
Wow.
But right now I feel strong and healthy. My children, grown children and grandchildren, are all happy and healthy, and we are a close and loving family. I didn't have that growing up. So my gratitude comes from my personal life, and then also the connections of wonderful people like you.
Relationships are everything.
They are.
I'm curious, how have you, other than what you've described through your relationship with your students, how have you seen human kindness at work through your teaching or through your performance?
I think in performance, it comes through telling stories. I am so grateful that I can still sing. I sang Saturday night at the Cedar Rapids Opera Cabaret. Oh. Just love performing still. And I'm so grateful that I still have my voice. But that's, you know, the dedication to caring for your instrument, your whole body, and the discipline of regular practice. But I guess I'm noted as a performer for being a communicator. And it's just allowing yourself to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And in telling stories, you reveal a lot about the inside person through the pain, the happiness, the joy, being willing to share and expose all of those feelings that are inside you.
It's that shared humanity, right, that we gravitate toward when we see, whether it's a performer, any kind of communicator, a person, a friendship, it's that shared humanity, that vulnerability that you see that we're drawn
to. That's it.
Yep.
I want to touch people. I want to make them laugh or cry or be excited, for them to feel the feelings that I feel as I'm performing.
Yeah.
And as a teacher, it's the reciprocity of their gratitude for my teaching and my gratitude for letting them open their lives to me. I've had almost every student cry in my studio.
I was one of them.
Almost.
Multiple times.
And we've also shared lots of hugs and happiness, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Carla, what do you hope your legacy is? You have had a career that spans decades. Your fingerprints are all over so many of us. What legacy do you hope to leave?
I think I'm starting to feel it now. I mean, I read at 75, that's a landmark. And I'll be grateful for the ability to sing and teach until I can't. Mm-hmm. And I do think my legacy will be a combination. I need that adoration or recognition of singing well and beautifully and touching people with my performances. But increasingly, I've started saving letters and papers that students have written about me and being able to retrieve those mementos, knowing that I've influenced young people is, I hope, my greatest legacy.
You have made a big difference, and I am proof of that. So I appreciate you. I'll have to send you something written so that you can pull it out and read it. I will do that.
I keep it in a bag.
Oh, I love that.
That I can pull out on a dark day and delve into the past and the precious memories.
It's a good practice. Well, here's something fun. Do you have any performances coming up? If people are listening and close to where you are in Eastern Iowa, anything coming up in January, February, March?
January and February, at this age and stage, my husband and I are going to Florida for 2 months.
As you should.
But I know I'll end up at the tennis place that where we stayed. They have a number of tournaments with pretty famous tennis players. And I always sing the Star Spangled Banner for their tournaments.
Oh, that's nice.
That's just something fun. I've done that many, many, many times all over. And but I did just finish this wonderful cabaret with the Opera Theater, and it's the second time they've done it, and it's such a smash hit. The tickets sell out in about 3 days. So I've taken the liberty of that, using that cabaret idea, and selected my top three choices of a mezzo-soprano, a tenor, and a baritone. Both the mezzo and the tenor have studied with me for years and years and years. These are all adult singers. The baritone is the new director, general director of the opera here. Oh. And he's also pursuing a career in opera. But the four of us got together and started talking about songs that touch you, you know, and that we found that immediate connection. Yeah. And we've written a program, and we're hoping to do a whole series of shows, and we call ourselves Songs from the Soul.
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful.
So we're in the production aspect of that now. I'm doing publicity and marketing.
Okay. Well, Carla, if listeners want to maybe study with you or follow along with your journey, where can they find you?
CarlaGettle@gmail.com would be the best way. I took my website down because I'm not touring as much. I just sang a Requiem here with the Cedar Rapids Concert Chorale, and I'm still thrilled to have performance opportunities. But right now, I'm going to concentrate on Songs from the Soul and continue my teaching.
Okay. Well, Carla, thank you for being with us today. More importantly, thank you for the generosity that you showed me. I deeply appreciate your investment into my life, the way you gave me a chance, the way you gave my voice wings and confidence. I think about you often as I do my daily job. So I realize that...
I'm astonished.
Well, it's true. And it's important. I think it's...
And blessed and grateful to connect with you again.
I think it's really important to show that gratitude, you know, for those people that we think about, they float through our minds every now and then. But I think it's so important to act on those thoughts and follow through with the gratitude. You've made a difference in my life. And I hope that listeners will realize that just their simple acts of human kindness, like giving a scholarship to a student like me, can make a lasting impact. You are a beautiful human being, Carla. And I'm so grateful that your mark is on my life.
I return the compliment, and I am so grateful that we have reconnected, and I look forward to following you.
Thanks, Carla. Thanks for listening to Human Kindness at Work. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review on whatever platform you're listening on. It's a great way to help others discover the podcast and be inspired to make a difference right where they are. Until next time, keep an eye out for human kindness at work in your world. Whether it's big or small, it all matters. See you next time.